All the scientists are running around looking for the monkey, but he can't be found because he's down by the pond playing hockey with the kids.
Welcome back to that 590 show. Right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Mr. Pete Jensen from the NHL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at @NHL_Jensen. Pete, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, great having you on again. The mood around town is kind of like, well, yeah, we kind of had a bad feeling about the second round. Maybe we kind of let ourselves get talked into thinking that we were going to beat this Predators team and maybe coast to the Stanley Cup Finals because the big bully in the block, Chicago, was knocked out. But right now, here the Blues are down 3-1 against the Nashville Predators. Is this how you thought the series was going to go, or do you think that it was going to be a little more even?
I mean, I picked Nashville to win the series. When we talked a couple weeks ago, it was I thought the matchups were in their favor. I thought that Allen would have to stand on his head, and Tarasenko was the best player in the series, and he would have to have an outstanding series. I mean, it's turned out that Nashville has continued to ride Pekarinen, who has shown no signs of letting up, has had amazing numbers this postseason, 9.53 save percentage and 7-1. The Predators are really tough to beat at home. They haven't lost in their past 8 playoff games at home, dating back to the first round of last year. And I think that we've seen in this series some of the bad breaks for the Blues in terms of that huge 3-point game from PK Subban, who was previously pretty non-existent in the playoffs. James Neal has 2 goals in this series after being non-existent for the past month or so. So on top of a team that was already playing its best hockey of the season at the right time, you've also seen some of these players emerge and play even better in the series against the Blues. And I think just the Blues in general, in the major phases of the game, are lacking in this series in comparison to the Predators.
Yeah, the right now the Blues, they just don't have the scoring punch to keep up with the Predators. The Blues combined for 6 goals in the first 2 games of the series, but scored 1 in each of the past 2 losses. They were pleased with the effort in Game 4, but outshooting the Predators 33-25, but the end result just wasn't enough, and here we are, here the Blues are down 3-1. I mean, is that how you're seeing it? The Blues just obviously just aren't scoring enough, and they can't keep up.
Yeah, the Predators' defense, the defensemen have been off the charts, especially in this series and in the playoffs at large. They're averaging at least a goal per game in the playoffs from their defensemen scoring goals, and then not to mention all the assists they're racking up, whether you're talking about Roman Josi. Ryan Ellis has been amazing. He's been as valuable as any player to any team this postseason, and obviously Subban, a little bit more hit or miss than those two, but has had his share of big games, and Matthias Ekholm as well. I think when your leading scorer in the series is Joel Edmondson, that's not going to cut it. I mean, he's been a great story in the first round, scoring a couple of goals against the against the Wild, and then leading the team in points here in the second round against Nashville. But again, Tarasenko held in check, Jaden Schwartz held in check. Alex Steen has been pretty good, but again, when teams are rolling 2 or 3 strong lines and you're getting decent production every other night from one line, then that's not going to cut it.
Speaking of Joel Edmondson, he and Ryan Reeves both took roughing penalties about early on, basically in the third period. And this is what Ryan Reeves had to say about the call. I think it's a terrible call. I disagree with it 100%. There's 10 guys all grabbing one guy. You pick one extra on one team in a crucial part of the game in a big series. I think it's bad judgment. And that's basically been the talk around town, was that call last night. And that's what kind of broke open the scoring for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, it's a tough break for the Blues, no doubt. And being on the road, it just makes it, when a break goes against you, the home team feeds off the crowd, which is, by the way, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about other atmospheres around the league, but I think the atmosphere in Nashville has proven to be, a difference maker in this series and in the postseason. But yeah, when you're on the road and you're, you know, you have a call go against you or play a little undisciplined, you have the home team and the home fans licking their chops and getting ready to take, you know, make it come back to haunt.
They've done a good job of making it basically kind of like a college football atmosphere. Only thing is for hockey. You know, the way they chant, they chant Allen's last name. That's not unique in hockey. Almost, I mean, they do it here in St. Louis. They do it in every hockey arena. But then, you know, it's your fault, or whatever they're chanting.
Kind of
funny. They've actually done a pretty good job. As much as I want to hate this Predators team and hate their fans, I'm kind of amused by them.
Yeah, it's constant. And this goes back even to last postseason. Remember when they played the Sharks in the second round? And the Sharks, who were a great road team, best road team in the league last year, lost all three games in Nashville. And I think it makes a difference when it's just constant noise, constant chanting, and they're paying attention to the game, and they're at the big moments and the big hits and the, you know, when the odd man rushes, it gets very noisy in there. And it's been fun to watch, and I think it's paying off for them, because not only are they playing their best hockey of the season, as I mentioned, a number of their individuals, and from a team standpoint, they're getting this amazing atmosphere to back them up further and make them that much more confident. So, you know, they stole game one on the road, and then they knew that going back to Nashville that they would be in position to take advantage of any mistakes by the Blues and keep the games low scoring and win both at home, and they did that. So now pressure shifts back to the Blues, and we'll see what they can muster facing elimination. It's going to be tough, I think, to beat the Predators in this game. I think Nashville has all the momentum and could finish them off in St. Louis, but you can't write off the Blues. I mean, they've been too good over the past 2 years, you know, even being a little overmatched in this series. I think they have a chance.
And there has been precedence of the Blues teams in the past coming down or coming from behind when they're down 3-1, 1991 against the Red Wings, and then in 1999 against Phoenix. So is it impossible? No, but is it unlikely? Yeah, I think it kind of is. I want to talk about Nashville's defenseman Ryan Ellis and PK Subban. This has got to be some of the best defensemen in all of the NHL. They're just fantastic.
Oh yeah, they're outstanding, and that's one of the teams that no doubt this summer with the expansion draft, where you could go with seven forwards, three defensemen, or just eight skaters, they're going to be looking to protect those defensemen, because that gives them an edge over almost any team in the league. Their top four defensemen are as good, if not better, than anybody, and they can score as well. It's not just being strong in their own end. They're racking up points. They're blocking shots. They have high shot volume. I know Ryan Ellis right now entering games on Wednesday is in the top 10 in points, which he's first among defensemen, top 10 in blocked shots, and also top 10 in shots on goal among defensemen. And that's a guy that on paper is your third best defenseman. So that just goes to show how much the depth has paid off in that area on the blue line for Nashville in the series.
Pete Jensen from the NHL Network joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at @NHL_Jensen. Pete, when you look at this Blues team, if I make you the general manager, what area on the ice do you go after first? Where do you think they need to improve the most?
I mean, on D, you're seeing, I think this team would have a little bit more firepower had they had Kevin Shattenkirk, but that was kind of an inevitable thing all year. So you're going to have to try to find some type of scoring pop from your defenseman. I think that we haven't really seen it from Pietrangelo in the playoffs. Colton Parayko has been on and off. We've seen it from Edmondson, but that doesn't seem like it is something that he could sustain based on the past. So I would say some scoring pop from your defensemen, and you know, certainly at center, the St. Louis Blues need to, I think, make a move to acquire a real number one center to center Vladimir Tarasenko, because we've now seen at points in each of the past two Stanley Cup playoffs where he's been shut down, largely due in part to him just not being able to operate and not having any quality passers around him. And, you know, I know he played a little bit with Stastny recently. It's been such a lineup inconsistency this season, even more so than last season. I think it's a glaring need. And one move like that could push everybody down into more appropriate roles for the future. So we'll see how they address it in the offseason. But I would definitely say number one center would be a huge need, probably the biggest.
I want to turn briefly, to the national scene in the NHL and talk about Sidney Crosby, who is not going to be playing tonight against the Washington Capitals. He is out with a concussion, and this has been a problem for him in the past. Do you maybe see a scenario where Sidney Crosby hangs up his skates early because he's made his money, he's won his Stanley Cups, he's won his MVP, he's won a gold medal for Canada, and he's done almost everything a hockey player can do or accomplish? Can you see a scenario where Sidney Crosby's like, yeah, you know what, this isn't worth it, this isn't worth my health anymore, and he hangs them up?
I mean, as a hockey fan, I would hope not, because he's a generational talent. And he's accomplished so much, and he's still in the prime of his career. I mean, that said, it's the injury is a concern. I would not be surprised if the Penguins shut him down. If there was a long-term concern, if they shut him down for the rest of the series, possibly even the rest of the playoffs, hopefully that doesn't happen. Nobody wants to see this happen. I'm sure Matt Niskanen doesn't want to see this happen to his former teammate. You know, he said there was no intent to injure. I think that the past connection between those two would be further evidence of that, you know, having a lot of success together. And, yeah, I would definitely say, you know, everybody's wishing Crosby the best, whether you love the Penguins or hate them, because everybody knows what he means to the game, for sure.
And when I saw that hit, I didn't see any real malice behind it. So, I mean, a lot of people were kind of surprised that he wasn't suspended, but I didn't think he should have been. That wasn't a well or a poor intended hit. It just happened to be that way. That's the sport of hockey. That's how it goes. Pete Jensen, final question for the night, and thank you again for making time for us. This Nashville Predators team, do you think they're good enough to win the Stanley Cup?
I think so. I mean, I would love to see them match up with either the Penguins or the Capitals, and I think they're strong enough in all areas of the game, especially with Rene playing this well. You know, different points in the season, he was not playing nearly as well. There were points where UC Saros was playing better than Pekka. All of that is dismissed right now. He has been, you know, shades of Jonathan Quick that one year when the Kings won their first of two Stanley Cups, where they just kind of ran the table almost and had some early series victories with just some amazing goaltending. And again, with the amazing goaltending, it also goes back to the defense. And I think that defense is good enough to shut down the Penguins, even if they have Crosby and Malkin, good enough to shut down Ovechkin and Oshie and Backstrom if they end up playing them, good enough to shut down the Rangers if the Rangers come back and win the series. I think in every area, and especially with the top line of the Predators playing as well as they did in the first round, and their ability to just keep going, even with some struggles. I know Victor Arvidsson doesn't have a point in the series. It doesn't matter right now. The Predators have enough depth to take them places this season. I would not be surprised to see them win the Stanley Cup. They were my pick to win the Stanley Cup before the season started. I was not feeling good about that pick. I picked the Capitals, you know, to play the Oilers in the Cup Final. I picked the Predators to beat the Blackhawks, but I just didn't know if they would be able to click at the right time and sustain it. But they've done that. They've exceeded my expectations, and we'll see if it works out. That would be some good foresight if it ends up happening. But it's been a fun playoff, and I'm excited to see how far they can go. But again, it's not over yet. The Blues are going to come at them in Game 5. And give them their money's worth. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Pete, thanks for your insight as always, sir, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And, yeah, good luck to the Blues in Game 5.
Appreciate it, Pete. Have a great night. That is Pete Jensen from the NHL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at NHL underscore Jensen. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Bob Nightingale, lead baseball writer for USAtoday.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.